You may be seated. Before we welcome Pastor Une for the message today, let's do the memory verse. One thing that I appreciate about Mosaic House Church is, well, I mean, obviously, I belong with you all. I appreciate that. But one of the expressions of that belonging is that we learn together and grow together. So thank you so much for encouraging me, challenging me to memorize all these verses, one verse a week. So here is one from last Sunday. Again, we are going through the book of James about community, a place to belong. So let's do the memory verse together, starting with the reference. Now, for our first time, yes, hang in there. Do your best. Let's do it together. James chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Consider it pure whenever you face trials of many kind, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. James chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Keep that verse in your heart. Memorization of God's word is the best way to live it out. The memory verse for this week is from James 1, verse 22. Let's say it together with the reference. James 1, verse 22. Do not merely listen to the word, and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. James 1, verse 23. Is it 22? 22. Children, make sure your mommy and dad train you with the memory verses. You got that? All right. Have a great time in the kids' house, little house.
Everyone, good morning, good morning. Good to see all of you here today, and good to have all familiar faces and also new faces. Welcome to Mosaic House Church. We've been going through the series, Community, A Place to Belong, and we have been studying the book of James. And last Sunday, we learned how the community helps us persevere when we go through trials and how those trials shape us, either pushing us away from God or drawing us close to Him. Do you remember that? I hope you do, because just we listened to the message last Sunday. And today we'll see how we can have authentic faith as God's children, how we can practice our faith in our community. So that's what we are going to see through the James. And now I want to ask Agnes and to come and read God's word. This is the text we are going to study together. It's from James 1.
Hear the word of the Lord. My dear brothers and sisters, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to speak, to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry, because human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But whoever looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues in it, not forgetting what they have heard, but doing it, they will be blessed in what they do. Those who consider themselves religious and yet do not keep a tight rein on their tongues deceive themselves. and their religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Hear the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you. Let's pray together before opening God's word. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for giving us your word so that we can open it, read it, and understand it. Holy Spirit, we pray that you will touch our hearts so that we will be convicted and encouraged. And we ask that you will lead us to obey your word. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody says, amen. If you want to use the sermon outline, sermon notes, you can scan QR code and follow along. So sermon note is available. We just read James 1, 19 to 27. And did you get what James wanted to say to us? The book of James is like a proverb sharing wisdom with early Christians. Sometimes it feels like verses are not connected. It seems like James was just saying whatever came to his mind. That's at least I felt when I read it. When I first read it, I thought James must have ADD. It feels like he said one thing and suddenly jumped to a different thing. So, to understand today's text, we need to know two things. First, when scholars translate the Bible, some scholars divide the sentences into sections and studied a new theme at verse 19. That's why in verse 19, it comes with the new title and goes to the following verses. But actually, in original text, there are no headings to divide the verses. So we have to start reading at verse 18 to understand what follows. So sometimes there is a title in the Bible, but not really quite understand if we just see the titles with the verses. So we have to know, okay, how those verses are all connected. And today we see that we need to understand the 19 and the rest of the verses. We have to understand, we have to go back to verse 18 first. And second, how we can understand the text better. In the original text, there is a conjunction. It's like an English class, conjunction. So what is a conjunction? Conjunctions are words that connected phrases or sentences like therefore, however, because. And sometimes it is not clear in English translation. So without a conjunction, it feels like these sentences are not connected. But with the conjunction, it makes more sense. Get it? Okay, so that's how we'll see the text today. So what is the theme of the sermon today? Our theme of the sermon, let's read all together. Those who are born again in Christ need to grow in faith by receiving and obeying the word of God in community. You know what? I used to be a Sunday school teacher for a long time, so sometimes my, like, you know, teacher aspects comes out. I think we could read better than what we read, right? I mean, you know, how many people we have, but let's read with enthusiasm, okay? Let's read one more time. Those who are born again in Christ need to grow in faith by receiving and obeying the word of God in community. Thank you. Much better. A passive victor always says to pay attention to repetition because repeated words are the key to understand the text. So here in these verses, which words are repeated? Nathan, can you show? Okay, verse 18, it says, the word of truth. And then verse 21, the word. And verse 22, the word. Verse 23, the word. And verse 24, actually 25, the perfect law, which means the word of God. So now we know that word of God is the main point which connects the whole text. So whole point of the text is connected the word of God. So this is our first point. The first point, we need to receive God's word to grow in faith in community. We need to receive God's word first to grow in faith in community. Let's go to verse 18 first, because verse 18 says, God gave us birth through the word of truth. By believing God's word, we became a new creation. God's word showed us that we are far from God and could never be a part of God's family. But Jesus came and made a bridge between us and God by sacrificing himself. So when we believe that, we become a new creation, and we say another word, that we are born again. Are you familiar with the word born again? That means we become a new creation. Are you born again? Do you know that you are a new creation? Do you know that you are in God's family? You are not sure about it? Please talk to Pastor Victor. Don't come to me, but just go to Pastor Victor and talk to him. Last Sunday, we had a wonderful baptism of baby Naya. I was surprised to see how well she behaved throughout the whole service. She was born 3 months ago already, and what does she need to grow? That means I want to answer from you. Okay, she was born 3 months ago, and now she's growing. And what does she need to grow? Milk. Right, everybody knows food, milk, and then later soft food and solid food. Whenever I come to church, I often see all the babies in Mosaic House Church. But they don't stay babies wearing diapers forever. As newborn babies, they drank milk and then ate solid food. And now they've all grown up to become big girls and boys. After a baby is born, we expect that it will grow. That's what the text is saying to us today. You were born as God's child, and now you need to grow by listening to God's word. In verse 19, the original text, there is a conjunction. That's the conjunction that I meant. They, in Greek, which can be translated moreover. Moreover means in addition to what has been said. So verse 18, it says, we are born by the word of God. And in addition to that, now, we need to be quick to listen to God's word, because God's word is our spiritual food. Do you catch that? Be quick to listen to. That means it's imperative, necessary, essential. It means we need to pursue every possible opportunity to listen to God's word. How eager are you to come on Sunday morning to listen to God's word? How eager are you to learn, discuss, and share God's word in your house church? How eager are you to go to a quiet place to open the word of God and commune with him? James says, if you want to grow in faith, you have to be quick to listen to God's word. I know we all have busy lives and it's hard to find time to read God's word, right? It is very true that there are many things we need to do, our work, house chores, studies, meetings, taking time to take care of kids or elderly parents. But we all take time to eat, and many of us spend time checking our Facebook, Instagrams, social media, Snapchat, or YouTube. In the midst of our business, of our lives, we make time to do the things we enjoy, like playing sports, hanging out with friends, watching movies, practicing instruments, and doing hobbies. Our priorities determine how we spend our time. Let's read the sentence together. Our priorities determine how we spend our time. Do you agree that? Our priority should be to see how important and necessary it is to listen, read, and study God's word. And sometimes we have a desire. We really want to do it. Like when we start a new season in the fall, or we make a new year resolution and we say, I'll read the Bible more. I will come to Sunday worship every week. Have you done it? You don't have to raise your hands, and I'm sure many of you have that kind of resolution before. But we all know how easily we fail. In Korean, there is a saying. You know how to read it? I'll teach you. 작심삼일. You want to repeat it after me? 작심삼일. Yeah, that means you make a resolution but are able to only keep it for 3 days. That's what it means. And I'm sure you all agree. Oh, that's me. Oops. Do you know how you can keep it going? You just keep making the same resolution every 3 days, right? But here is a better way. A better way is to have someone who can hold you accountable, someone who can encourage you, walk alongside you, someone to read and learn God's word with. This is why community is so important. And that's why we emphasize the importance of you coming to worship on Sunday and to belong to house church. Many of us have our own personal Bible. And nowadays, we don't even have to pay to get the Bible because we can just have a free Bible app. But you know, Bible is so available nowadays, but I wonder if we have the same eagerness to study the Word of God as the early Christians. When James wrote this, do you think people had their own Bible? The answer is? Answer is?
No,
of course not. I mean, Bible was just so rare. They didn't own their own Bible like we do right now. So how they were able to listen to God's word? They get together. The first Christians need to get together as a community to listen to the word of God. They gathered together to listen and grow in their faith together. Even though more than 20 years have passed, the same principle applies to us. We need a community to help us to listen, learn, and study God's word so our faith will grow. And I know the people who are quick to listen to whatever they want to listen to. I'm sure you also know some of them. They just open God's word and interpret it in whatever they want, whatever way suits them. We need a community to be accountable to check that our understanding of the word of God is correct. In community, we help each other to grow in faith. Next, it says that we should be slow to speak. Of course, it doesn't mean you have to speak slowly. Of course, that's not what it means, right? It means that we should be careful what we say. Sometimes when we learn a lot about God's word, we can become proud because we think we know the Bible really well, but we are easily deceived. We interpret the word of God our own way, and then we measure others by what we think we know by our own standard. We judge and use our words to put others down and think we are better. Not so. The Pharisees, that's what they did. They knew the law inside and out and were very quick to judge and very quick to speak about others. That's why James says that we need to slow to speak when we are getting to know God's word. Don't use God's word to judge others. Don't use God's word to just put yourself above everyone else. And this principle applies to anger as well. The scripture does not say do not be angry because it acknowledges that there is righteous anger. But here in this text, it refers to the anger that comes when we measure others by our own standard. It says, be slow to become angry. For example, when you drive, you sometimes become very irritated by other drivers. I'm one of them. You get angry. Actually, do you know that there are many road rage stories which end with the killing of other driver? Maybe not in Canada, but in USA, yeah. Why does driving bring out such anger in us? Because people don't drive the way you think they should drive. That makes you angry. Even on the road, we must be slow to become angry with other drivers. Sometimes we are angry at our kids, our spouse, our parents, or our friends, our neighbors, our coworkers, you name it. Judging them from our own point of view and thinking that our way is, my ways is right and better. When our expectations are not met, it's easy to become angry. Do you agree? Our anger comes because my expectation is not met. They don't follow my standard. My point of view is better and right. And in this text, anger doesn't only mean an outburst of anger, but it also means the anger that we allow to permeate our hearts for a long time, the resentment and bitterness that simmer in our hearts, including giving someone the silent treatment. Do you know the silent treatment? It sort of anger as well. When we are angry, maybe we need to turn to God and ask, God, are you also angry about this? God, do you upset in this situation? Maybe, you know, if it doesn't make us angry, we should reflect and be slow to anger. So we learned, be quick to listen to, be slow to speak, be slow to become angry. In verse 20, we see that human anger does not produce the righteousness that God desires. God gave us a new birth in Christ through the word of truth. And now we need to focus on how we can produce the righteousness that God desires. Producing the righteousness of God is one of the signs that we are growing in faith. So verse 21 says, they have a verse 21. Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. So before God's word can produce righteousness in us, some taking off has to place. We need first to take off all our moral filth and evil before God's word can lead us to produce the righteousness of God. The word of God leads us to produce the righteousness of God. But how can you grow in faith and producing the righteousness of God? James says that we should humbly accept the word of God. In this text, the word humble can be translated as having a teachable heart. We need to be eager to listen to God's word, and our attitude must be humble, teachable, and willing to obey. And this leads to our second point. Second point, we need to obey God's word to grow in faith in community. The first point is we received God's word. And second point, since we received God's word, we need to obey God's word. This is how connected. Verse 22 says, do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. But actually, the better translation is from ESV. It's a different translation. It says, let's read together. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Okay, let's read one more time. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Thank you. It is so easy to deceive ourselves that we are growing in faith and producing God's righteousness when we quickly listen to God's word, study the word, and do daily devotion. But James reminds us that the knowledge of the word is not only the sign of growing faith. Just knowing about what the Bible says is not enough. Can you see the picture of the lady? Yes. And she has big head and then tiny body. Sometimes people who have only knowledge of God can have a big head when they practice, when they don't obey God's word. Do you think it's a pretty lady, beautiful lady, but do you think she is a healthy form of lady? The answer is no. She had just a big head, small body. And sometimes in our spiritual journey, there are so many people like the lady. I know a person in Michigan who had full Bible studies every week. Of course, there was a Sunday worship service where she listened to the word. Then she had BSF, a Bible study group, on Tuesday. And on Wednesday, she had a neighborhood woman's Bible study. Thursday, a church Bible study. And on Friday, a Bible study for couples. her week was full of studying God's word. Now, it is a good thing to study the Bible. Do you agree? Yes. But when did she have time to apply all the learning she got from the Sunday service and the full Bible study groups? Scripture says that we can't just be a hearer of the word, but also need to be doers of the word. We have to practice and apply what we hear. Practicing applying God's word is like, you know, having muscle in our body. When we hear the word of God, it takes time to digest it and put it into practice. And did you catch the nuance in the sentence? The Bible doesn't say, do just what the word of God says, but to be a doer. Actually, in original language, it means to keep on striving to be doers of the word. What's the difference between just doing and to be a doer? Well, there are differences. There's different nuances. Be a doer means God's word becomes a part of me. I'm not just acting, but whatever lives in me, I became a part of me doing the things. I'm being transformed and shaped to become more like Jesus. All the information, knowledge of the word of God without application is spiritual deception, a way of fooling ourselves. So James gave an example. A person looks into a mirror to check out how he or she looks. Then they walk away and forget what they saw. At the time James wrote this letter, they didn't have glass mirrors like we have today. But they used a highly polished piece of metal. I was hoping to find a metal mirror, but I couldn't. But I kind of brought a similar one like that. So it's not kind of glass mirror, but at least you can't see yourself. But you have to really look into it, right? It's not clear, so you have to really look into it and see. And when you look at it, you see yourself. Oh, good looking. Oh, I love my look. And then you realize, oops, my hair is crazy. Oops, I have a speech in my tooth. Oh, you see something, you need to fix it. But imagine, you are looking in the mirror, seeing your hair sticking up everywhere, and forgetting about it, and you walk away. Does it make sense? No, that's ridiculous. The mirror shows who you are, but also mirror shows what to fix it. The word of God is like a mirror that we have to look into deeply. You know, you can really see yourself right away. You have to look in deeply to really see yourself. So you have to understand the context of the culture. Nowadays, when you look at the mirror, you see everything right away. But in that days, you have to look into it. So like the mirror at the time, when you read the word of God, you have to look into it deeply so we can truly see ourselves. When you read of God, you have to meditate it deeply so you can see yourself. And when you find things that what God wants us to teach about ourselves and our character, we have to be willing to work on them. For example, just knowing that we should forgive others doesn't make us grow in our faith. We need to actually obey and forgive others. Our God says that He will take care of us in the Word of God, that we need to trust in God in all our circumstances. Having the knowledge of God's word doesn't change us, but our obedience of the word of God transforms us the Word of God show us how to be more like Jesus in our character and life. It is our acting on the Word of God that makes us grow in faith. So now there is a part of listen, receive God's Word, and there is part of obeying. The rest of part, James gives example. So James provides us with three tangible application for how we can obey God's word after receiving it. The first application, it's about words, our words again. We have to be careful about what we say. James says, if you can't control your tongue, then your religion, your faith is worthless. It is not genuine, nor mature. Think about that. You listen to the word of God. You can memorize scripture. You can lead even a Bible study. But if your own words are gossiping, cutting people down, complaining, or yelling at your kids on the way to church, and of course, I know, I don't talk about Mosaic Houses. We will never do that. But, you know, some other church, they are yelling at the kids on the way to church, right? If you can't control your words, James says your faith has a problem. Why? Because your words reveal your heart. Whatever in your heart comes out as your words. Our words are the reflection of our hearts. So, with our words, we can bless or we can curse. With our words, we can build people up or we can tear them down. Words have power. And especially parents, remember, words have a power to your kids. Words have power. So when we look into the Word of God, we see how we can use our words. The second application James suggested to us is look after orphans and widows. God describes himself as compassionate and full of mercy. This command to show compassion echoes a command from the Old Testament prophets to take care of orphans and widows. Orphans and widows are marginalized, helpless, and lonely. They were completely powerless, the ones with no safety net, no security or protection. In God's eyes, we were once like those orphans, but in his compassion, he gave us new life through Christ and brought us into his family. So just as we have received God's compassion, it should be natural for us to take care of the orphans and widows of our day. Who are those people in your life right now? Maybe kids in foster care, maybe the single mom you know, maybe the lonely neighbor who feels forgotten, maybe the family members who needs your attention. Our true faith, not on Sunday when we sing the praise songs, but our faith, our true faith shows when we leave the church building and live out the compassion of God. And this is a third and last application. We keep ourselves from being polluted by the word. What does pollution mean? Pollution means it contaminates, it poisons, it weakens, it harms. We know about air pollution, especially in Alberta. When there is wildfire, we know what air pollution means. And also there are pollution of ocean and land. And we live in a world full of other kind of pollution. Do you know that? Materialism, lust, greed, gossip, or selfishness. Those are the pollution from the world. We live in a world that says, I am at the center of my life. I decide what is good or bad. I decide what is right and wrong. If we are not careful, that pollution damages our mind and soul. When James wrote this, the early Christians were facing many challenges against God's values, much like in our current society. So James says to the early Christians, and now also to us, do not get polluted by the world. Be different, be holy, be set apart. Now, maybe some of you are wondering, so how are these ways to grow in faith and connected to community? The faith community we belong is the place where we practice our faith first. Before going out into the world, the faith community, the church, is where we work out our faith and where we help each other to grow in faith. We can practice how to be slow to speak, how to be slow to become angry. We exercise our faith with our brothers and sisters in Christ. We should take care of the people who are in need inside our community so that we'll be able to take care of others outside our faith community. We can't withstand the tides and strong currents of our world by ourselves. We definitely need a community to share life with to help us live by God's principle and values in this polluted world. You see, the community is not only the place to exercise our faith, but also the place where we can be accountable to each other. A place to continue on the journey of growing faith. It is the place we do life together. Are you familiar with this logo? What is the slogan? What? Just do it. Just do it. I think it should be the slogan for all Christians born into God's family. We should be quick to listen to God's word and to devote ourselves to study scripture. Just do it. We can be slow to speak and be slow to become angry. Just do it. Take off the evil that clings to us and have a teachable heart to humbly accept God's word. Just do it. Be not only a hearer of the word, but be a doer of the word. Just do it. Be careful with our words and show compassion to the people who need God's compassion. Just do it. Keep ourselves from being polluted by the word. Just do it. Just do it. Just do it. Actually, it has to be our slogan. When we receive God's word and obey his word, just do it. One act of obedience at a time. One step of faith at a time, one moment of applying God's word at a time, and let's work our faith in our community first. Let's pray. If you haven't born again, today might be the day that you can have new life in Christ. Do you believe that you are a sinner? That you have lived life against God's goodwill? Do you believe that Christ sacrificed himself for your sins and will give you a new life in him? Or do you want to have a relationship with the God who loves you and shows him compassion on you? Then why don't you pray, God, I want to be born again in Christ. I want to have a new life in Christ. I want to be a part of your family. Why don't you accept the work of the Christ and experience new life in Christ? And my beloved fellow brothers and sisters in Christ who are already on the life journey of faith, what is the Holy Spirit saying to you? In which area of life do you need to be a doer of God's word? Are you in a house church where you can keep growing in faith? What is the Holy Spirit nudging your heart right now? Let's put just one thing into practice this week. Holy Spirit, help us to receive the word of God faithfully and obey it diligently. Help us to live the new life in Christ that gives us freedom, contentment, and peace. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.